Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Last year, the Massachusetts legislature raised the gasoline tax to 24 cents per gallon. It was the first increase since 1991, and lawmakers said it was necessary to pay for bridges and roads and public transportation.
They also indexed the gas tax to inflation so that when the value of the dollar changes, the tax changes along with it. A group here in the state calls that taxation without representation, since lawmakers wouldn't have to cast a vote on automatic future increases.
And that is why voters next week will find a ballot question on this issue. A no vote keeps the tax the way it is. A yes vote would decouple the tax from inflation adjustments over time. Joining us now to hash out this ballot question is Steve Aylward. He's from the Committee to Tank Automatic Gas Tax Hikes. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Steve.
Thank you.
And also here in the studio is Michael Widmer. He's president of the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation. He is in favor of keeping the gas tax as is. Michael, welcome back to you too.
Thank you.
And listeners, this is your tax bill at stake every time you fill up your tank. So call us. Let us know whether you think we should index the gas tax to inflation. If you're still trying to understand this ballot question, this is your chance to learn more and to call in and ask questions. We are at 1-800-423-8255. That, again, is 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Steve Aylward of the Committee to Tank Automatic Gas Tax Hikes, tell us why you think those tax hikes should be tanked.
Well, first of all, Sasha, we're really proud of what we've done here. We got 146,000 signatures from voters all over the state. And our big concern was not that we need money for roads and bridges. We're not going to dispute that. What we're against is the methodology of this tax. It is really taxation without representation because legislators don't have to take a vote going forward. They're going to strap our children and future generations with a vote they took now. Economic conditions and circumstances change every year. And when they change every year, if the legislature wants to do its job, then they should, in fact, take the vote. That's one of many reasons why we're against it, but that's the primary reason why they should take the vote.
Is there an element here of wanting to hold legislators accountable, wanting to make them weigh in on tough decisions like whether to raise taxes?
Sure. I mean, that's probably the most important job they have to do is decide the economic situations, the circumstances, the need, and then make a case to the taxpayer every year, every time they raise the vote, every time they raise the tax.
Now, there are other types of taxes that are indexed to inflation currently, income tax, sales tax, property tax. On the federal side, the standard deduction changes without a congressional vote. On that point, the Boston Globe said no one considers that an affront to democracy. So why treat this one differently?
Because this is changing the tax rate. Taxes go up as we earn more, as we spend more. That's one argument. But really, this is a tax rate going up, and that is linked to inflation. That's the real link. It goes up, and it goes up automatically. So that's our concern with that.
Now, what about the issue that there are other taxes that aren't constantly reapproved by each sitting of the legislature? Again, I want to quote the Globe here. They said, an elected legislature passed the law, meaning the gas tax increase, and nothing in the law prevents future legislatures from changing, reducing, or eliminating it. So why not just lobby future legislators to revamp what was done by the last one?
But again, Sasha, economic circumstances change. Like, for instance, in the past 2 years, this state has brought in $1.1 billion in unexpected revenue. So this tax was designed to raise $1 billion. Well, they already got that in the past 2 years in excess revenue. So if that's the case, you know your state is wasting money at an enormous rate, then why would you want to raise taxes when you have a surplus and you haven't cleaned up any of the waste? For instance, just as one circumstance, we'll just talk about $25 million in the MBTA pension fund lost. So just so your listeners understand, it's lost. Martha Coakley's office is looking into finding what happened to that $25 million, but that's lost. How does the state legislature have the nerve to raise taxes automatically year after year when they can't find $25 million?
Michael Widmer of the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation, you take the opposite view on this. You would like the gas tax to stay as is. Tell us why you think it shouldn't change.
Well, for two or three major reasons. The first is the thrust of your questions, Sasha. This is a traditional form of taxation, namely adjusting it to inflation. As you said, the income tax, when you get a cost of living increase, you pay more in income tax. Sales tax, when the price of the product increases. Property tax, when your house increases in value, then you pay more in taxes. This happens to be tied to cents rather than percent, but the distinction is meaningless. This is a very common form of taxation. Let me put it in context. The last time the gas tax was raised, before 2013, it was increased to 21 cents in 1991. By 2013, that was worth 12 cents because of the loss of purchasing power. Now, obviously, we can't maintain our roads and bridges, and we have roads and bridges that are unsafe, in poor condition, and public transit as well. We can't maintain those transportation investments if we're losing purchasing power. And so this is a standard way in which we support public services, higher education, healthcare, transportation.
And Michael Widmer, just to reiterate a little history you gave there, we mentioned the gas tax had not been increased since 1991. Back in 1991, it was 21 cents. Then last year, it went up to 24 cents, so increased 3 cents over that period of time.
Yes, so a very small increase, which obviously goes to the question of the how often the legislature would come back and increase the tax or not. But in the end, we need to maintain our roads and bridges. We do not have the budget surplus that Steve's referring to. We're actually running a deficit this fiscal year. We don't have extra money for transportation. The indexing of the gas tax, the money goes directly to transportation, roads, bridges, and public transit like the MBTA. So, and by the way, the cost of indexing, which is half a penny a year approximately, for the average driver is $5 a year. So this entire debate is about a driver paying an extra $5 a year to maintain our roads and bridges and public transit systems.
Michael Widmer, what about the concern that Steve Aylward sitting here next to you has, which is that by allowing these gas tax increases to be automatic, you basically are setting in motion a situation where tax hikes are guaranteed without any lawmaker having to go on the record as approving it?
Well, that's consistent with the income tax, sales tax, property tax, every other tax, which is to say they, over time, track inflation. And if they don't, there's no way we can make the public investments that people support, whether it's police on the street, whether it's public higher education, or whether it's transportation investments. You have to have the purchasing power reflect the cost of inflation. And so it's very simple. This is a common method of taxation. The notion that we somehow should separate the gas tax from other forms of taxation makes no sense.
Steve Aylward, if you were successful and you were able to decouple the gas tax from indexing, do you have any concerns that legislators simply wouldn't have the courage to take a vote every year because they don't want to have to be on the record as increasing taxes, and therefore you might run into a funding problem for what you acknowledge are needs for bridges, roads, public transportation?
Why would I be concerned with that? I mean, they campaign every year. They want to be elected. Their prime job is to look at taxation, raise it or decrease it, not that they decrease it too often, but that they take a look at the economic circumstances and they decide based on that. And if I could just go back to one of the things Michael said, just for some numbers, 2013, budget surplus, $627 million. 2014, budget surplus, $570 million. We have the money.
Let's be clear. We are drawing down the state's rainy day fund in order to support our fiscal 13 and 14 and 15 budget. Those are not surpluses. We are actually running deficits and drawing down our rainy day fund during an economic recovery, precisely what we should not be doing. We should be building up the fund for the inevitable future recession. Just the opposite is happening. And those are, in fact, the facts.
But Michael, just the health connector, for instance. We had a fully functioning healthcare system. We lost $1 billion because we did not ask for a waiver from Obamacare. $1 billion lost. So you say we're drawing down off the budget. Yeah, that's because we're making stupid decisions. We're not doing the right thing for the taxpayer. And we could go on and on about waste, and we can talk about even simple things like $9 million for the governor's office. If we're in such bad shape, why does the governor want to spend $9 million and why aren't people revolting against that? I don't spend $9 million for anybody in my office.
I'm not here to defend the governor's actions on the connector. It's frankly an utter fiasco. But we're not talking about the management of the connector. What we're talking about is a revenue stream that will support transportation investments. And we all know that if we defer maintenance for roads and bridges, as with our own homes, it's much costly, four, five, six times more costly later. We have unsafe bridges. We are in desperate need of funding. I've been part of the Transportation Finance Commission 7 years ago that identified a $20 billion gap over 20 years in the needs for transportation investments. We need to be consistent in funding those transportation needs.
Listeners, we are talking about ballot question one, which will be on the Massachusetts ballot next week. A no vote would keep the gas tax the way it is. A yes vote would decouple that tax from inflation adjustments over time. And we're talking with Steve Aylward from the Committee to Tank Automatic Gas Tax Hikes and Michael Widmer, president of the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation. He is in favor of keeping the gas tax as is. Let's go to some callers. We have Jake calling from Milton. And Jake, your view on this ballot question.
Great job moderating this. I really think you've played very fairly to both sides. Up until this point, I've been on the fence, but Mr. Aylward, you, sir, sound nothing more than duplicitous. From what I'm hearing coming out of your mouth has been not a contradiction, but the story has fishtailed ever so slightly when it comes to the reasons why this indexing should stay in place. This is monies that are already allocated for roads and bridges. You're being duplicitous because that money has already been collected and it's been used for other services. Now they're already earmarking at the State House, earmarking tax money that they expect from this new tax to go for what was originally roads and bridges, and now you're calling it transportation, which smacks to me of pension funds, the T, extensions to rail lines to places where nobody takes the trains.
I think we've lost Jake. Let me turn to both Steve and Michael. Would the two of you weigh in on the listener's point there?
Well, I mean, I don't know how I'm being duplicitous here. What we're saying is back to Mike's analogy of a household. When you have a household and you're doing something, you want to fix your bathroom, okay? The first thing you do is look where you might be wasting money. Then you look to see what you have in the bank. You don't go out and spend that money in the bank on something else and then say, geez, I have to go get another job. I need to bring in more revenue. No. You set a budget like the state does, and then you use the extra for things you need, not for things you want, for things you need. So I'm not being duplicitous here at all. I'm saying, don't waste the money, spend the excess that you have, and take the vote. There's three key points that we keep going over.
And Michael, you look like you had a furrowed brow there as that caller called in. Your thoughts there?
Well, just underscoring the obvious, if you own a home and you have a leaky roof and it's dripping just a little, everybody knows you better fix it sooner rather than later, because the cost of fixing it later is much greater than the cost of fixing it sooner. And this is what we're facing as a state, because we don't have the money to invest in maintaining our roads and bridges and public transit systems, keeping them safe. And we need to do that in order to avoid asking people to pay more later.
We have another caller. This is Rick calling from Dorchester. And Rick, your thoughts about ballot question one?
Well, I have to agree with the gentleman about decoupling this tax, because nobody...
That you think it should be decoupled?
Yes, I think I am tired of our legislator putting taxes on the burden of us middle-income people of this state. And I agree with them. Why is Patrick administration spending $9 million to renovate an office he's never going to be in? Well, take that $9 million and put it towards the roads. I do not agree with the argument that we need to keep this tax to fund the improvement on the roads when there are so many other areas in government that waste money. Cut the welfare budget. Get rid of some of these other things. You know, people are leaving Massachusetts in droves, and we're actually thinking about getting out of here, too, because we're being tired of tax to death. And I think by saying no to these legislators, you're not going to do this anymore, force them to make make an uncomfortable vote that they can't tax and spend, and it's just getting out of control in this state.
Completely. Rick, thank you for that call. Steve, that is a caller in favor of your argument to decouple. So, Michael, why don't you address it? Are there reasons for voters to be concerned that the money wouldn't be well spent?
Well, obviously the state can improve how it manages transportation. It has done some of that, but there are a lot of additional things that the State Department of Transportation can do in order to improve its record of repairing roads and bridges. But that doesn't get away from the fact that we have this huge hole in funding that we need to maintain the MBTA, regional transit authorities, and roads and bridges, and there is not the money in the budget to do that.
Although, to clarify one thing, if the gas tax were decoupled from inflation, the money to do that funding wouldn't automatically vanish. Steve, is your point that you hope the money would remain there? It would simply be that legislators actively voted for it to be there.
Actively voted for it. And that's why we did not oppose this 3-cent increase the past time around. Could I make a point about what that gentleman said, Sasha? Do we have time?
We have about a minute left, so make it a quick summary if you could.
This is David against Goliath. And if you look at the money that's coming in, $1.7 million is coming in against this, mostly from corporations. So anybody concerned with Citizens United, look at this and you wonder why some of these people are stacking up. It's because they're going to get the revenue that comes from all of this road and bridge repair. But that's really problematic for us. So it's David against Goliath. We have less than $100,000. They have $1.7 million.
Michael Widmer, a 15-second reply to that?
Briefly put, there is a huge, broad coalition opposing this question for the economic future and safety of our citizens, transportation, environmental, business, labor, grassroots. It's absolutely critical. $5 a year in order to preserve our roads and bridges.
That's Michael Widmer, president of the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation, and also Steve Aylward with a committee to tank automatic gas tax hikes. We've been talking about question one, which will be on the Massachusetts ballot next week. Michael and Steve, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, author and Maine native Elizabeth Strout on the HBO adaptation of her Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, Olive Kittredge. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.